Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Hebrews chapters 1 and 2. This is God's Word. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. God has appointed Him heir of all things and made the universe through Him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of His nature, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So He became superior to the angels, just as the name He inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my son, today I've become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? Again, when He brings His firstborn into the world, He says, "And let all God's angels worship Him." And about the angels, He says, "He makes His angels winds and His servants a fiery flame." But to the Son, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of Your kingdom is a scepter of justice. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. This is why God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy beyond your companions." And, "In the beginning, Lord, you established the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like clothing. You will roll them up like a cloak, and they will be changed like clothing. But you are the same, and your years will never end." Now, to which of the angels has He ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? For this reason, we must pay attention all the more to what we've heard, so that we will not drift away. For if the message spoken through angels was legally binding, and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The salvation had its beginning when it was spoken of by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. At the same time, God also testified by signs and wonders, various miracles and distributions of gifts from the Holy Spirit according to His will. For He has not subjected to angels the world to come that we are talking about. But someone somewhere has testified, "What is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him lower than the angels for a short time. You crowned him with glory and honor and subjected everything under his feet. For in subjecting everything to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. As it is, we do not yet see everything subjected to him. But we do see Jesus made lower than the angels for a short time, so that by God's grace he might taste death for everyone, crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. For in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was entirely appropriate that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, should make the source of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will sing hymns to you in the congregation. Again, I will trust in him. And again, here I am with the children God gave me. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these so that through his death, he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For it is clear that he does not reach out to help angels, but to help Abraham's offspring. Therefore, he had to be like his brothers and sisters in every way so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in matters pertaining to God, to make atonement for the sins of the people. For since he himself has suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is God's final word. Everything else pointed to him. All the prophets, all the Psalms, everything in Israel's history was all pointing to Jesus. But Jesus is the eternal word, the pre-existent word of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, John chapter 1. So in this letter, we're going to be continually pointed to the Lord Jesus. And that is what we need to be focused on. As we go through this, it's all about Him. And the reason that this letter is being written is because you have a group of people who are suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ. They're finding it very difficult and very costly, and some of them are in danger of turning away, turning back. And this letter, God is going to say, don't turn away. But in this opening section, he warns against something else that happens to a lot of people, and that is not a deliberate, I'm leaving. It is neglecting. Look at the beginning of chapter 2. For this reason, we must pay attention all the more to what we have heard so that we will not drift away. Picture that. It's not rebellion. It's not decisive action. It's just carelessness. It's just not staying focused. Look again at this opening paragraph in chapter 2. If the message spoken through angels was legally binding and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Not reject such a great salvation. Neglect such a great salvation. You understand the difference? We are in danger of drifting, of just not paying attention, of just not being focused, and thereby neglecting what God has done for us because we got distracted by other things. All of you have heard the gospel repeatedly and clearly presented by various people. And most of you, if not all, have accepted, at least on an intellectual level, that Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, I can buy that. But are you gripped by the gospel? Are you just amazed by God's love? I'm astounded. Praying this morning before I come up here that God would help me to speak, I'm blown away that God would love me. I don't deserve that. And yet God, the infinite one, the creator of all things, loves us. He loves us. And he wants to display his glory and his power through us for our good. So, as we look at these two chapters briefly this morning, please see in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, that in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. God appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. Okay? Everything that exists was made through Jesus. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature. If you want to know what God the Father is like, look at Jesus. It's not like the Father's like this, but the Son is like this. No. If you want to know what the Father's like, look at Jesus. He's the exact expression of God's glory and nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So he became superior to the angels, just as the name he inherited is more excellent than theirs. Then he launches into this section from the Old Testament scriptures pointing out how Jesus is God the Son, and none of the angels are put in that category. Why is that important? Because in this culture, these people were tempted to think of Jesus as if he's one of the great ones, and to think of angels as these great beings that they are, who perhaps we might be able to go through. There are all kinds of things running through this that deal with various tempting heresies that existed in the early church and sadly still exist today. The devil hasn't had to change his script from generation to generation. He's still using the same lies to deceive one group of people after another. And so there are those who get their eyes off of Jesus and start focusing on other celestial beings. There are people in our culture today who call themselves Christians, who are involved in all kinds of superstitious, non-biblical ideas about spirit beings and trying to be in contact with those, and in the process just opening themselves up to the demonic. Because Satan comes robed as an angel of light. Why in the world would you waste time trying to go through a bunch of subordinate intermediaries when you have direct access to the top? You and I have direct access to God in Jesus' name. Not a perfect illustration, but one that I've used from time to time to talk about what it is to come to the Father in Jesus' name. I've been to many wonderful private clubs over the years. Various ones have appeal. But my favorite of the ones I've been to, and I've been to ones in various cities, my favorite was the Cherokee Town Club in Atlanta, Georgia. Right there in Buckhead, beautiful old place. It's a really nice, exclusive, expensive club. And, fabulous food, beautiful atmosphere. And I've been there a lot. I know how to dress and how to behave. And my face, a number of years ago, when I was spending more time in Atlanta, my face was a familiar face in the place because of the generosity of my friends. But I want you to suppose that I decided one afternoon that I'd like to go by there and enjoy a meal, okay? So I go, and the valet takes my car, and I go inside, and I'm greeted. May I help you? Yes, I'm Jim Wood. I just wanted to have lunch here. Say, I'm sorry, Mr. Wood. Are you with someone? No, but I've been here a lot, and I really like the place, and just wanted to get a nice meal, and I know you always have good food. Whose guest are you? Well, nobody in particular today. I'm just kind of here on my own, but, you know, I've been here a lot. I'm sorry, Mr. Wood, this is for members only, members and their guests. Well, look, I won't cause any kind of commotion. I mean, you know, people won't even know. I just, you know, and I'm happy to pay for it, okay? I'll pay. I'm sorry, Mr. Wood, it doesn't work that way. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, gosh, it sounds like he tried this. No, I didn't try this because I'm not an idiot and I know how those things work. But I want you to understand something. It doesn't matter if I've been there a bunch. I only have access in someone else's name. I can go in the name of this person, or in the name of this person, or in the name of this person, but only if they authorize it. Okay? Our only access to the Father is through the Son. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's not an alternative path. The reason that we remind ourselves in prayer that we pray in Jesus' name is because we are doing what he told us to do. We're coming to the Father in Jesus' name on the basis of what he has done. He is the one who has opened the way for us because he is the way. And no angel can do that for you. I don't care what angel it is. I don't need another intermediary. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And so if you want to draw near to God, you come through Jesus. No other way will get you to the Father. But when you come in Jesus' name, when you are depending on him, when you are trusting in him, you don't just have access into the spirit realm. You have access to Almighty God. And he welcomes you as his dear child. Do you know how much food I can charge as the guest of my host when I'm at the country club? As much as they've got money for. Okay? It's not about how much I've got on me. It's not about how much I've got in my bank. It's their account that's paying. Do you know the basis on which I am declared righteous before Almighty God? It's on the basis of his righteousness, not mine. It's not because, well, I've been having my devotions very faithfully, and I've been tithing, and I've done this, and I've done... It doesn't count. Saying it doesn't matter if I have my devotions? Yeah, it matters to your health. Well, what about tithing? Well, you need to do that as a reminder that 100% belongs to God. But don't think for a minute that somehow you're earning your status with God. It doesn't work that way. He made Jesus the heir of all things, and guess what? Read Romans. We have been made joint heirs with him. And so, in this opening section of the letter to the Hebrews, By the way, I haven't said that Paul wrote this because we don't think he did because it doesn't sound like him. Some parts of it kind of sound like him. If you want a bit of speculation as to who wrote it, my guess, and it's just a guess, would be Apollos. Because it fits with what we know of Apollos as far as his linguistic ability, etc. But that's pure speculation. So if I ever going through this refer to Paul saying this, that was just a slip of the tongue because I'm used to preaching from Paul's epistles because he wrote so much of the New Testament while he was in jail. All right? But this letter written to the Hebrews, and therefore called Hebrews, this letter is a reminder to us that in the midst of suffering, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus because he is the one who saves. For this reason, we must pay attention all the more to what we've heard so that we will not drift away. For if the message spoken through angels was legally binding and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? This salvation had its beginning when it was spoken of by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard him. See, that doesn't sound like one of the apostles, does it? This salvation had its beginning when it was spoken of by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Not by us who heard him, by those who heard him. At the same time, God also testified by signs and wonders, various miracles and distributions of gifts from the Holy Spirit according to his will. But then he goes on, and he says, in subjecting, verse 8, in subjecting everything to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. That's the one we're appealing to. Jesus is in control. He's the ruler. Now, we don't see everything yet being played out the way that it will be when his kingdom has fully come on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we're supposed to be praying for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But don't think that that means that things here are just totally out of control. God is still sovereignly working out his plan so that even the evil that is done by man is used by God for the good of those who are his. And Jesus was perfected through his suffering. He was made complete. And he tells us we should expect, if we're going to follow him, that there will be suffering for us as well. Verse 14 of chapter 2. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these so that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. Verse 17, therefore he had to be like his brothers and sisters in every way so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in matters pertaining to God to make atonement for the sins of the people. For since he himself has suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. When you face temptation, don't think, well, God just doesn't understand what I'm going through. Oh, he understands better than you do. Jesus, we're going to read later in this book, in the book of Hebrews, Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. And the difference between him and us is that he didn't give in. Jesus went round after round after round with the devil, and he never gave in. So when you're facing a tough time, when you're dealing with temptation, when you're going through suffering, you just realize Jesus knows temptation and suffering better than you, and you cry out to him for mercy. Lord, help me. I'm weak. You're strong. And he's there, and he'll help you. He promised, and he always keeps his promises.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.